God's word to his chosen people, recorded in Deuteronomy. You heard Josette read them earlier, come with no nuances. There are no shades of gray in that conversation. There's nothing left open to interpretation, right? See, today I lay before you blessings and curses, life and death. Now choose life. I am your life. Choose life, that you and your children might live long in the land. Choose life. But if your hearts lead you astray, if you are tempted to go a different way, it will lead to your destruction. So walk in my ways and follow my commands. Stark is the contrast. Obvious is the difference. The conclusion is unquestionable, right? When that's the choice, blessings or curses? Life or death? No nuance, no shade of gray, nothing left to interpretation. Choose life. Now, before we go down the path too far, let's admit that sometimes the choices aren't quite that easy, are they? Sometimes, you know, there is a little bit of murkiness in there, and it's one of those things where after you make your choice, you figure out you made the wrong choice. Just ask anyone who's ever been out to dinner at, you know, one of those expensive restaurants where the bill is going to be more than your car payment. And two bites in, and you say, I should have ordered that. Just ask anyone who invested their future with Bernie Madoff a year before he was arrested, or who chose for their fantasy football team Andrew Luck a day before he retired. Sometimes the choices aren't that obvious. It's only after you're into it that you realize it. And there are times where the choice seems pretty clear, but someone else is asking you to go a different way. We were on vacation with some very dear friends of ours. We were in the area of France on the German border. It's a hill country. And one night we went out for dinner in an old farmhouse. And it was on the hill across the valley from where we were staying. And we enjoyed the evening. And when it got time to leave, you know, it was dark. And we're on these country roads that are very narrow. But we had the voice in the box. You know, the GPS we knew would get us home safely. And so we're driving along, and all of a sudden the road takes a literal fork. You can't keep going straight. It's not an option. You got to go this way or that way. And the voice in the box said, go left. And we looked left. And left was eerily dark. There was, you know, fog on the road. And to make matters worse, the light that was coming through from the moon made the trees look like they had claws just ready to snatch you out of the car as you're driving by, you know. But down the right, there it wasn't overgrown. The road was pretty clear, and it led right to a little village that we knew we had to go through in order to go up the other side of the hill to get home. So we started to go right, and the voice objected. Recalculate, recalculate, go to the left, go to the left, go to the left. So we kind of got nervous. We did put the car in reverse a minute, and then we stopped. We parked on the road, and the two of us in the front actually got out. And we walked a little way down the left road. And as we walked, it looked worse. So we got back in the car, turned off the GPS, and went to the right. So I don't know what would have happened had we gone to the left, but I do know this. Had we gone to the left and we got lost, we would have said, it's the fault of the voice in the box. None of us would have taken the blame. You know, when God's people have chosen the wrong way throughout Scripture, no one wants to take the blame. It's the serpent's fault that I went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and chose to pick, said Eve. It's the woman's fault that I tasted forbidden fruit, said Adam. It's your fault, God, that we're in the desert without anything to eat. Back in Egypt, we had pots of meat. We had fruit baskets galore. You know, at that moment, the Israelites made slavery sound like a farmer's market. It's your fault, God, that we got into this situation to begin with. Often the people of God throughout Scripture, we find them making the wrong choice and blaming someone else, even when the choice before them was kind of clear. Now, God himself, we must admit, has made a choice too. God has chosen to make a people for himself. God has chosen a people to be his own. God himself chose to send a child to crush that serpent's head, restoring the couple to each other and to communion with God, bringing them back into each other's arms and bringing them back into God's arms. God chose. God chose to send a sacrifice so Abraham could free his son Isaac from the wood to which he was bound. And that child, born generations later, would be bound to the wood of the cross for Isaac and Abraham, for you and for me, so that all through him might be a chosen people. God chose. God chose in Christ to leave the eternal promised land and to enter this world. And Jesus chose life, one that is pure, perfect, holy, one that always followed the Lord's way, one that was never detoured from God's commands, one that always walked in the path set before him by the Father, one that even went all the way of the cross and chose when his life would be ended. No one takes it from me, he said. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and to take it up again. God has chosen. He has chosen in Christ to take the place of each and every one of us who has ever gone astray. And who hasn't? You know, even the big names of God's chosen people, even the ones who were the only one at the time, the kings of the chosen people, went astray. Saul, the first king, chose power over God's path. Even though the prophet said to him, you know what? God has anointed another to be king. Saul did not leave the throne. He would not vacate the palace. He remained. He chose power over God's path. And that king who was anointed, David, when he became king, he chose pleasure over God's path. So he took another man's woman to his bed. He chose pleasure over God's path. And a child born to that woman later on, when he would become king, Solomon, he chose possessions over God's path. And so he let his wives, thousands of them, bring their false gods into the kingdom, as long as they brought along with them their 401ks, even though God had already said, I'm going to make you not only the wisest man ever, but you will be wealthy beyond belief. God's chosen people over and over and over again chose the wrong direction. And not only those who are named in Scripture. Now, you are named in Scripture as a chosen person. That is true. St. Peter, when he's penning his first letter, he says, you, one time, you weren't even a people. Now you're the chosen people of God. Once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy. And yet, how often have we, like the chosen people before us, gone the wrong direction? And yet, God has chosen to call us his own. See, the reason like Israel before us we often go the wrong direction is that fallen people have an internal compass that's broken. By nature, our north is directed at ourself. In fact, a great definition of original sin is the term turned in on oneself. So often we are turned in on oneself. And it doesn't matter whether it's power or pleasure or possessions. It's all about the person, the self, is it not? When that is elevated above God's path. And how often don't we hear the voice in the box, so to speak, directing us a different path? The GPS, if you will, of the goading pernicious snake, the globally persistent sirens, the gluttonous penchant self, the goading pernicious snake, the globally persistent sirens, the gluttonous penchant self, those GPSs, the catechism talks about them this way. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. They often seek to lead us astray. Often we go their way, and most of the time after we do, we blame somebody else. You know the voice, right? It says, go this way. Head that way. Take a different route, any direction. But the truth is, they all are the same, aren't they? Creator under created. The sovereign under the self. The eternal, the temporal. Created over creator. Self over sovereign. Temporal over eternal. It's the path we often take. And when we do, his decrees, his commands, his statutes, they are bypassed. For our opinions, our desires, our preferences. So often the path we choose is the path of personal desire, power, pleasure, possessions. Yet in love, he chose to send Christ for you. Yet in love, he has declared you to be his own child. That is the choice he has made, and he's not going to change his mind. And so now to you, he says, as a chosen people, choose life. No nuance, no shade of gray, nothing left open to interpretation. Serve me, follow me, pick up your cross daily, fix your eyes on Jesus. I think it's important to note for us that in this text, God directs his children's vision further into the future than their own time. God directs his chosen people's vision further into the future than their own time. God's chosen people, chosen in Christ, chosen by grace, chosen through faith. Those chosen people who are called to choose life. To them he says, and you and your children and your children's children's children will be blessed. Generations yet to be born. People who yet do not know that they are a chosen people in Christ. They are to be as important in the decisions we make as God's chosen people as the people were making the decision itself. Let me say that again. People yet unborn, people who do not know what it is to be chosen in Christ, they are to be as important in the decisions chosen people make as the people making the decision themselves. Israel failed at it over and over again, and so do I, and I'm guessing so do you. So God chooses to lead us to repentance. God chooses to restore us again. God chooses to equip us to live for him over and over and over again by providing us with another GPS. As I said, we who are by nature fallen have one that's broken. But we who are by the Spirit a new creation have another GPS. We are guided by a promised spirit. We are girded by a pure scripture, and we are governed by a personal savior. You are guided by the promised spirit. Jesus said, I will send my spirit to you and he will live within you. And by the virtue of baptism, he does. He lives within you. He's guided you here today. I'm convinced of that. You are guided by the promised spirit. And he will guide you into truth through the girded pure scripture. You're girded by the pure scripture. God's word, it is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. It's beneficial for teaching and learning, for rebuking and correcting. And it always draws us to Christ, our governing, personal Savior. Yes, we are a chosen people, but you are a chosen person. This gets not only corporate, but individual. You are governed by a personal Savior, one who chose you to be his own, a king who's granted you his kingdom and all that belongs to him. And now he calls you to follow, to extend your view beyond yourself, to go where he leads, that others also might come to know what it is to be his chosen people, who pray, if you'll join me. Lord Jesus, you are life. To know you is to live. To serve and follow you, Lord Jesus, is to experience life in all its fullness. Continue to restore us. When we go astray, continue to lead us back to you. Continue to send us your spirit that you would guide us. Continue to strengthen us to turn to your word, which is pure and true. Continue to govern us, Lord Jesus, to choose life. You are life, and in your name we pray. Amen.